Hey everyone, welcome to the Swarm Stingcast covering all things Georgia Swarm. I'm your host, Corey Fields, and I'm joined by co-host Nicole Palumbo. We thank you all for tuning in and look forward to sharing some Swarm stories throughout the year. On this podcast, we'll be recapping some X's and O's on the podcast, but also bringing some players and coaches on to learn more about themselves on and off the floor. Make sure to follow Georgia Swarm Lax on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok to stay up to date on all things Georgia Swarm. Today, we'll briefly be recapping the season to date, and then we're going to sit down with Swarm's first round draft picks in the last two drafts, Ryan Lanchberry and Brett Dobson.
But before we get started, we want to let you know that the Stingcast is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, Atlanta's premier waterproofing and foundation experts. You can visit them at esogrepair.com for all waterproofing needs. Once again, that's esogrepair.com.
All right, we're going to kick this off with a season recap up to date. So the Georgia Swarm unfortunately dropped four straight games to start the season, which I don't think people need to be hitting the panic button yet. They have a good young core, good young demon with Ethan Riggs, Adam Wiedemann, Brett Beto. There should be no reason to worry. They have a ton of talent up front, some young faces in McCumber, Lanchberry, Andrew Q. I think all you need to see is this offense finding consistency. They have the talent there to be a 500 team, if not be a wild card team, make the playoffs. So yeah, is there a reason to hit a panic button? I don't think so. The goaltending's been pretty solid. It all comes down to playing a full 60 minutes. All four games to start the season, they scored two goals in the second half. The last game against Buffalo, they scored three goals in the second half. And you just can't win games like that. On a more positive note, though, the last game in Buffalo, their power play went really well. The defense looked great. The offense looked great. They just couldn't pull the last couple minutes of the game out. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything to be worried about. I think they're definitely on the right track. This two-week break might help them out. And then when they come back, they got a ton of potential, a ton of talent to make this a 500 season. Nicole, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously 0-4 is not where we want to be right now, but the team we saw on Saturday against Buffalo is a great team. You know, that was the most complete team we've seen all season, and that's who we're going to be, and we're going to build off of that. You know, we finally saw the potential we have, and we played a great Buffalo team. I mean, Josh and Dane lead the league in points, and, you know, they have a great goaltender behind them stopping all the shots. So to compete that well against them after, you know, falling by 9 the week before. Great comeback, you know, great improvement throughout the week. And it's just now, how can we build upon that? And yeah, we're going to a 2-week bye, which is going to be, you know, kind of scary, but I know the team does have a practice up in Toronto one of those weeks. So they'll still be seeing each other, still touch the sticks. And, you know, hopefully we can then go to Colorado and get the first win of the season. But it's just been a tough schedule to start the year off. I mean, reverse Rochester. I mean, no one predicted Rochester to be that tough, you know, this season and on game one. So they've proven themselves week in and week out. They're now 5-0, so that's a tough team. I mean, we always play hard against Philly. You could predict that it was going to be a big battle, and we just came up short. And again, we played a tough Buffalo team. So hard schedule for the first few weeks, but we're improving.
Yeah, for sure. And with sports betting on the rise, Nicole, what are your final predictions for Georgia Swarm's record? I'm going 9-9.
9-9, that's good. That's good. So I'm going to go 10-8. I have some confidence here. You know, we have another tough battle against the reigning NLL champions, but once we're over this hump for the first start of the season, I see us winning and going.
For sure. Well, why don't you let our listeners know about some of the milestones that have been achieved already this season?
Yeah, we've actually had quite a few milestones hit within the first four games. Most recently, Shane Jackson eclipsed the 400 career assists mark at Buffalo. Lyle Thompson gave out his 300th career assist on January 7th. Jordan McIntosh has achieved three feats this season, becoming the 10th player all-time to pick up 1,500 career loose balls. In the home opener, Jordan McIntosh also became the 6th leader all-time in NLL faceoff wins with 1,651. He now has 1,655 under his belt. He also recorded his 400th career point in the home opener. Other impressive milestones is Jeremy Thompson, who clamped his 2,000th career faceoff win on opening night, becoming the fourth NHL player to do so all time. Up next should be Brian Cole, who needs four more points to reach 400 in his career. Colesy notched two last game after playing up, so if he keeps that trend going, we should possibly see him do it in Colorado, but you know, definitely in the series against Toronto. Also, Brendan Bomberry needs 3 points to hit his centennial points mark. Bomber notched 3 points last game and averages 1.25 a game this season. So we'll see if he could reach it on February 3rd. If not, again, Toronto series is going to be a good one where some good things happen.
And there has been more milestones from the Georgia Swarm players, with Brett Dobson starting his first NLL game against Buffalo. And last NLL game he performed, he put up 46 saves with an .807 save percentage. Ryan Lanchberry also played his first NLL game and has tallied 1 goal, 4 assists through these 4 games. Now let's hear from both of them coming up next. Welcome to the Stingcast, Ryan and Brett. On this, we're just going to, you know, run through some easy questions for you guys so people can get to know you a little bit better. So we'll start with the first one here. And it doesn't matter who answers first. What was your first thought after getting the phone call or hearing your name called on draft night?
Yeah, I'll go. For me, it was pretty surreal. Yeah, it felt like something that you kind of wait for a really long time. And then for, you know, maybe like 6 months before the draft, it's really stressful where you see all these lists coming out and, you know, you start thinking about where you're going to possibly go, and you're seeing, you know, who's got what pick at what number and talking to all these teams, and you're trying to, you know, get a gauge for how the night's going to play out. But then, you know, kind of once your name's called and, you know, all that stress is just kind of, you know, it's just pushed to the side, and, you know, it was just kind of pure joy for me. And I was lucky enough, you know, unfortunately for me, I didn't have an in-person draft, but I was lucky enough to have, you know, 30 of my teammates from Richmond kind of by my side there. And, you know, they all kind of went nuts when I was picked. So that was really special for me. So yeah, it felt like kind of the culmination of, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of a long time coming. So yeah, it was really special overall.
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of a unique scenario. I unfortunately couldn't be at the draft this year because I had prior, you know, agreements with the PLL, the Archers Lacrosse Club. So I was watching on the phone. I remember I was sitting there kind of watching all the picks go through, and I kind of had an idea that if, you know, I got past 6 or 7, I would end up in Georgia at 11. Just looking at kind of the draft board. So I was watching the draft with, at the time, Scott Ratliff, who was our play-by-play announcer for the Swarm. And I was watching it with Connor Fields, who unfortunately was a little bit of a Swarm killer in his first game here. But, you know, it was really exciting for me. Like, it was, you know, the opportunity to get drafted is, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I was lucky enough to be able to experience that twice with the PLL and the NLL. And I'm kind of glad I wasn't really there in person because I had, you know, some tears coming down my face and I was excited. I remember calling Eddie right away when I got drafted to find out that he was at a Notre Dame football game. So I was in tears, bawling my eyes out, saying thank you and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was excited. I mean, I knew that Georgia was a place I wanted to be. And, you know, for me to be able to do what I do now and do lacrosse full time, it was somewhere where I felt like I could excel with that. And, you know, I was excited. And then as soon as I, you know, found out I was drafted, I hung the phone up. I saw Colesy in the lobby because he was in Washington as well. So he gave me a big hug and said, welcome to the team. So I was excited about that. It felt like I was in the right spot, knowing what I knew about the front office and everybody that coaches this team and the organization itself.
That's great that you ran into Colesy too and were able to have like a moment together. You're talking about your emotions and tearing up. How'd you feel once you heard your good friend Brett Beto was also coming along with you?
I was excited. You know, Brett and I go back. We were roommates in college. You know, he actually transferred in from Tampa, where he was teammates with my roommate now, Andrew Q. So I felt like for me, it was nice to have him come along. I felt like for me, it's easier when you go into a new situation and there's people that you know already. But I felt for him, it was easier for him to adjust with it because he knew me and I knew a lot of the guys from playing for Team Canada and the Sixes with Mackie, Colesy, Eddie, Chai were all there to name a few, right? So I felt, you know, pretty much at home right away. And, you know, everybody opened us up with, you know, welcomed us with open arms, and it's been great so far, and Brett's enjoyed it a lot, and I still think that, you know, us being teammates in college and now has carried on, and I think it's a great thing for both of us.
That's awesome. Speaking of draft night, how have both of your lives, you know, changed from that night till today?
Lance, you want me to go here, or you want to go, brother?
Yeah, you just keep it rolling.
Sounds good. I'll start. I assume mine's a little more drastic than Ranch's here, but you know, I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. This is where I was planning to do. I was planning to move in market. You know, I live here with Andrew Q. We both live in the same building as Shane Jackson, so I'm excited that I'm down here now. I get to golf every day if I can. I'm coaching at a high school at Pace Academy, so it's a lot warmer than it is in Canada. I believe today was, you know, 20 degrees Celsius, you know, and sunny. So I was in t-shirt and shorts where a lot of people were in winter jackets back home. So that's one way my life's changed a bit. I'm excited. I rent, but I'm a homeowner now. So I'm excited that I got my own place to live in. And, you know, it's, you know, you value things of a house a little bit better. And I think my parents try to put a lot of things through me in terms of, you know, keeping things clean. And I didn't really start to understand that until I started living on my own now. But taking responsibility for myself and how I, you know, take care of myself. I think that, you know, when I live on my own, and I'm not with my parents, I have to cook for myself, the, you know, clean, I have to provide for myself as well. So being able to have that kind of here, and, you know, you grow up, you don't want to grow up too quickly, but you have to mature and grow up in a sense. And I think that, you know, by getting drafted by the Swarm, moving out here has been a tremendous honor for me. It's been, you know, life changing in the fact that I'm in a new place, I'm in a new city, and I've enjoyed it. And, you know, I remember rolling in the first day I drove down from St. Bonaventure. I called my parents. I said, I'm never leaving this place. It's warm, it's sunny, it's beautiful. The people are nice here, you know. You know, a lot of fans are around here as well. I remember going to one of the New Balance stores down here, and one of the, like, the owner was a big Swarm fan. So that was a bonus, and I felt that, like, you know, the community does a pretty good job of, you know, diving in with the players whenever they get the opportunity to. And I'm looking forward to doing more stuff within the community as, you know, time kind of goes on here.
Yeah, my life is pretty different as well. last year, after I got drafted, I did my fifth year. So I was still in school doing my master's. And, you know, life was, even though I was drafted, life was pretty much the exact same as it was before the draft. I was still a student, still playing lacrosse at the University of Richmond, still doing pretty much everything the exact same as I had done before I got drafted. But, you know, obviously now things are a little different. I'm living back home, you know, getting up and going to work as a financial analyst and, you know, crushing numbers and looking at Excel spreadsheets all day is, it's not the, you know, the most exciting job in the world, but, yeah, I'd say my life is definitely a little different, a lot more responsibilities. But I think it makes you appreciate things like lacrosse much more. I know, like, during the week, I'm just like, oh God, like, get me to Friday. So, you know, I can fly out and see the boys and, you know, get out there and play some lacrosse and kind of get away from, you know, not the lacrosse isn't responsibility, but from the not so fun responsibilities I have, you know, my job. So that, I would say that's pretty much how my life's changed. Other than that, I think just, you know, kind of as you get older and you have a little more freedom to kind of do what you want once you're out of school. So overall, not too much has changed.
Amazing. Speaking about pressures, you guys were both the top draft picks for the Swarms in the last two drafts. Could you guys kind of talk about the pressure that you feel heading into your first seasons with the Swarm?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say there's definitely a lot of pressure. And yeah, I think that comes with being, you know, a higher draft pick. I know that I put, you know, more pressure on myself than probably, you know, Eddie or John or, you know, any of my teammates put on me. You know, most of it is internal. And so far, you know, hasn't been the greatest start for myself or, you know, for a team. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure, but I think that, you know, that just comes with the job. And I think that, you know, you just have to find a way to kind of use that pressure and, you know, make the most of it. I think that if you didn't feel pressure, then, you know, you probably wouldn't care as much, or you probably wouldn't, you know, play as well as you possibly can, because it probably doesn't mean as much to you. So I think pressure can be a good thing. And I think that if you can use it in the right way, that it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, kind of contrary to Ryan's kind of point there. For me, I felt kind of, you know, relaxed and kind of just excited. I wouldn't say there was that much pressure for me, just because I feel like ultimately at the end of the day, you know, you're picked to go here, and you know, everything that you've done to lean up to this point is why and what's got you here, right? So kind of learning from my experiences from the summer league and the PLL has allowed me to feel more comfortable going into the season, even though I hadn't necessarily played a lot of box cross in the past couple of years because of COVID. And obviously with the PLL, you're not necessarily allowed to play senior A in Canada or senior B. So I think for me, after kind of that first camp, again, for me, I knew a lot of the guys within the organization, from, you know, coaches and GMs all the way down to some of the players and guys I played with. I felt like, you know, it wasn't that kind of socially awkward thing right when I walked in there. And I think after that first week, understanding how kind of things roll with this organization, I think that for me, I felt pretty relieved. And I just felt kind of, again, it's another opportunity where you get to smile and play lacrosse every weekend, especially for this organization. It's a tremendous honor. So for me, I don't necessarily feel as there's much that much pressure on my shoulders with it. And I think that for me, you know, just kind of going out there and having fun, I think when I get to go out there, have a smile on my face, be around, you know, the 21 to 23 guys that are on the active roster each week playing, I think that, you know, it's an honor. And I think it's less stressful when you're there together with the group, right? So I think that, you know, for me, I don't work another job. I do lacrosse full time, which is a beautiful thing that I'm able to do. It leads to a lot less stress in my life because, again, I'm constantly doing lacrosse 24/7. So the way I prepare and approach the game is something that allows me to feel comfortable and confident, and, you know, have to not worry about some of the pressures that might come with it.
Brett, you seem really positive. So is that the mindset you have when, you know, goalie is a tough position? It's a tough mental position. Is that the mindset you have, you know, in a game when you do let one or two straight goals, and or, you know, after a bad game, do you kind of use positivity to build yourself back up? You know, talk about that.
Yeah, I think there's an old saying that kind of goes, you know, you're never as good as you thought you were, and you're never as bad as you thought you were as you play. So I think that by being positive with yourself and allowing yourself to kind of be, you know, easy going with things, it allows you kind of a short memory when you know, bad break here, a bad thing happens right during the game. So I think that for me, like, just having that kind of mindset and being kind of, you know, free flowing, easy going, I think goes a long way. And again, it takes a lot to get me really, really worked up. And I think that just kind of relaxing, using a lot of our social cues that we talk about within the team to kind of reset helps. But you know, at the end of the day, if you're not enjoying something and not having fun with it, again, there's going to be ups and downs with it, right? There's going to be your good games, there's going to be bad games, there's going to be mediocre games. But I think that as you kind of go through the process, you know, having an open mindset and taking something that you learn from that event, which is ultimately going to help you down the road, especially for me, you know, I envision myself playing 20 years in this league, if not more, if my body can uphold it as well. So I think that, you know, learning something new and talking with a lot of guys like Pooley or a couple other goalies around the league, and Dylan Ward or Christian Del Bianco, to name a few, and to know that their scenarios and their trajectories were exactly the same. You know, after my first start, I got pulled. I remember talking to Wardo. He's like, yeah, man, I got pulled too my first game. And, you know, he's widely renowned as one of the best goalies in the league. So I think that, you know, it's funny seeing similar stuff like that. And it's okay to understand that, like, yeah, that happens. You know what I mean? Happens, just part of the process, right? So whatever you can take from situations like that and having a positive mindset and to not be discouraged is something that's really, really important as a goalie and even as a player too. I think, you know, positivity is contagious, and if you're able to stay positive through a lot of scenarios, it can, you know, trickle out onto the team, and, you know, a lot of guys can feed off that.
Very well said, Brett. Ryan, I got one for you here. Do you feel added pressure in your first year playing alongside Shane Jackson, Andrew Q, Lyle Thompson, and Bomber? And how do you feel you're fitting into that lineup and gelling with the guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's definitely a little pressure. You know, as I mentioned, I think I'm the type of person that's always going to put, you know, maybe a little extra pressure on myself and someone who, you know, has pretty high expectations. So, you know, I think that when you go into a lineup, you know, like we have, there's kind of that way to look at it, that, you know, you want to try and fit in as much as you can on and off the floor with that kind of group of guys. But I think that they've all been incredibly helpful and patient with me as well, and kind of allow me to take a step back, and they'll pull me aside and point out tiny little things that they see, or, you know, whether it's in practice on the, you know, on the bench in the game. So I think that kind of takes some of the pressure off when they're patient and they're understanding, and they kind of take an extra, you know, an extra minute to pull you aside and, you know, talk to you about something. So They've definitely relieved some of the pressure, but I think going into it, you know, there was definitely that pressure there on myself to be like, wow, like I gotta like fit in with these guys right away. But you know, off the floor, they're all incredible, and they've been nothing but unbelievable to me. So that definitely really helps out on the floor.
Yeah, it seems like we've had really cohesive team. You know, it seems like there's some really good chemistry going on in the locker room. And last week, the energy was just up so high. Like before the game, I was just talking to Eddie and Chai saying that you guys, I feel like everybody was just so positive. And just the energy was just different last week, and you could feel it. And it seems like you're all really clicking and gelling very well.
Yeah, I think we are. You know, kind of right from the beginning, John would tell me that, you know, culture is incredibly important within this organization. And, you know, I think that when I came in, and not that I didn't expect that, but I didn't really, I didn't expect it in the, to the capacity that it is. I think that from day one, there hasn't been clicks on the team, you know, old guys talking to young guys, you know, Americans and Canadians, doesn't matter really, you know, where you come from or anything or how old you are. Everyone meshes really, really well in this team. And, you know, that's definitely the best part of my week is, you know, getting in the locker room every Friday and seeing all the guys. So, yeah, it's been an incredible start for sure.
Yeah, to add to Ryan's point there too, sorry to cut you off there, Nicole. I think that, you know, speaking of last game, we did a tremendous exercise as a group talking about kind of what's our reason why we play. And, you know, John, you know, and Eddie and Chai talk about it a ton that, you know, this team's a family, right? And you get to know your family and more people as you kind of start to be around them more often. You start to have these kind of open conversations where you're able to, you know, feel one another out, and you might not know something's going on in somebody's lives, right? So when you're able to put yourself out there and be vulnerable as a team, I think it goes a long way. And I think that, you know, that, again, you ultimately lost the Buffalo, but I thought as a team it was a step forward. And, you know, a couple of possessions here or there go our way, I think we come out in Buffalo as a win. I look at it as we probably should have won that game as well. And I'm sure a couple of other people in this organization might look at it the same way. But I think it puts us in the right mindset and the right step moving forward, heading into Colorado in 3 weeks, right? And then we get to come back home and play Toronto for the next two. And then we got our team trip to Nashville. So I think the ball's going to start rolling here for us to be able to get kind of a, you know, gets a good vibe going and a lot more chemistry going. The energy is going to be really, really high. But I also think that, you know, we started 0-4, but I think the tides are going to start to turn our way in a couple weeks here.
Totally agree. Yeah, I know obviously the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but you guys just played just so well. And it was the team that we've been, you know, we've been waiting to see. So I think things are going to change after this week, and the boys will be back soon. I know you guys keep saying you're looking forward to Friday. Sadly, we have a few more Fridays until you guys get back together, but good things are coming. I'm feeling it. We already talked about draft night, but you know, what from after that moment, what was your wow moment? I'm really doing this. I'm really here moment. You know, what hit you? Like, when did it hit you?
I think for me, I think it kind of was right away. Like, I mean, it goes to the point that like any chance you get to live out a dream and a goal of being something, you know, for me, it was to be the highest goalie drafted in the NLL this year. And, you know, to be able to go in the first round, because I know a lot of goalies have gone in the first round. And I think for me, that was a tremendous honor. So when that kind of happened, I think it hit right away. Even though I was still playing in the PLL season, I kind of understood what was going on. And then, you know, reaching out to John and Eddie and Chai and everybody within the organization, I think that's what started to kick it a bit. And then obviously when the social media posts kind of come along, and then you really roll in, you get your new gear, you fill out the pad form, and you get everything kind of going, I think that's really when it starts to sink in. And then when you finally get the training camp, it's like, okay, wow, we're here, right? So let's make the most of the opportunity we have, and let's have some fun. I mean, for me, this is my life. This is what I do full time. So it's the start of you know, my 20-year job, hopefully, that I can continue to kind of do in the wintertime as I go through it. And I think that, you know, getting things started, again, you have a lot of time in the world, right? So you can't really stress over things. So just enjoying every moment you kind of get and go from there will add up over time. So I think that for me, right off the jump, it kind of hits for me, and it was something that was exciting. I knew that not making the playoffs last year for the Swarm was something that they wanted to try and do this year. So I kind of understood that message right away, and I wanted to do whatever I could to help this team, whether it be, you know, playing or not playing, what I can do to help the boys gel a bit better, right? I think that's, for me, was something big for me that I want to do right off the jump. And, you know, obviously not a tough start right now, but we'll bounce back. That's all I got. But, yeah, so we're right away, right off the draft, when I watched on my phone, that's when I knew it was surreal for me.
Yeah, I'm like kind of the opposite. I think that when I was drafted, it was, you know, you kind of felt it there. You know, like I mentioned, I've been playing since I was 2 years old, and, you know, the NLL draft was something that I had looked forward to since I could remember. And, you know, that was, you know, the greatest moment of my life was being drafted and the greatest day of my life. So when my name was called, I, you know, that it really hit me then. But then doing my fifth year, I kind of went a year in limbo where I didn't talk to anyone, you know, really from the organization. I wasn't, you know, signing contracts. I wasn't, you know, in any of the social media posts. I wasn't, you know, involved with the team at all. So I kind of went a year where it felt like, you know, it was hard to feel like a professional lacrosse player because I was still playing college lacrosse and everything. So for me, you know, kind of right away it hit me. But then I had that period of time where, you know, I didn't really feel as, you know, that it was kind of happening for me. But pretty much the first weekend, I would say, when you walk in the locker room, you know, you fly out and you go in the locker room and you see your equipment, you see your stall and all the facilities, and then kind of walking out the tunnel for me was the first time I really was like, wow, like this is, you know, I'm finally here. Like I was walking out the tunnel and looked up and, you know, saw the arena and it took me by surprise. I was not expecting it to feel so big. And, you know, something about that moment for me was kind of like, wow, like this is what I've been waiting for.
That's awesome. Yeah. You were, I guess, more in just like an awkward situation than Dauber. Yeah. Then you had to wait a year and you couldn't be in the social post, you know, that was something like, cause you're in the fifth year, you know, we can't really talk about you. So it must have been a hard kind of feeling for not forgotten, but just not.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, I think
not as included.
I don't know if there's a rule about, you know, coaches and, you know, John not being able to talk to me, or if there was a kind of a limit to how much they were supposed to talk to me. I think John had mentioned that. So that was kind of another thing. Like, you know, I talked to them all kind of right after the draft, but then, you know, kind of went most of the year without really, really talking to anyone. So definitely a little bit different of a scenario than Dauber over there, but,
No, it's all right though. We didn't want to see Lance's face in any photos last year. We keep it that way. We're good.
Hey, today's was a hit.
Yeah, it really was.
You're right.
Lance, you scored your first goal in the Buffalo game. You know, walk me through that play. What were you feeling? How'd you think after? You know, how do you feel now after letting your first one fall?
Yeah, it was definitely, as the theme of some of my answers have been, it was stressful leading up to that moment, you know, kind of having that pressure of like, when's the first one going to drop? But, you know, going through that play, I knew before it came to me that that Shug was going to throw me that ball, because in the morning, we had run through a similar play where it got down to Shug there, and Bomber had cut, and I drove the backside pipe. And I remember Shug told me in the practice, he said, you know, fill in behind Bomber, almost as if like I'm throwing it to him, but I'm going to throw it kind of like right through the defense to you. And so when I saw Bomber go through, I immediately went to that spot, you know, kind of knowing it was going to come to me. And then from there on out, I feel like it was in slow motion. I don't know how to explain it, but kind of like shooting and seeing the ball go in, it felt like it was like dead quiet and it was in just really slow motion. But definitely, you know, nice to get the monkey off my back and hopefully get the ball rolling a little bit.
Yeah, sure. To add to that too. I don't know if you guys have noticed yet, but Lance is a really stressful person. So you can't even like can't even talk to him about stuff like this before the game. Like he was on edge before practice. Like, hey, Lance, you gonna get one today? Yeah, man. If I don't, I might retire. Like, come on. So anytime you gotta make it nice and loose and light for Lance, when he puts less stress on himself. So you gotta make sure every answer he's had so far is I've been stressed out. I've been stressed out. Right? Make sure it's nice and easy going for him here. You're stressed out now.
No worries. It was a great goal, and we'll just pump your tires so you don't feel as stressed during this. But we talked about some of the players you guys played with, some of the personnel in the Georgia organization. So who are some of the players on the team that have taken you under their wing and kind of showed you the ropes in terms of being a pro into the NLL?
For me, I'll go with a couple of guys. I got a few. One of them, Shane Jackson. He's my tour guide down here in Atlanta. He takes care of me of where we're going. Anywhere he goes, I'm his little compadre, me and Q-Ball. So wherever they go, I go with them. So he's been one person that's taken me under his wing a lot with that. I'm going to say Pooley as well, Mike Pooley, our goalie coach, just because he's done such a tremendous job in this league and, you know, is widely respected across the league as being one of the, you know, better goalies at his position and being a great teammate. And I think that, you know, being able to sit down and talk with him about a lot of things and having him at camp allowed me to kind of feel comfortable moving into things. And then ultimately as well, like even Jordan McIntosh, it's not a lot from him with me, but it's just a subtle one conversation we'll have that kind of brings me back to where I need to be. If it's something I'm doing in warm up, or, hey man, take what you need, you do what you need to do, be comfortable, that type of conversation. And it, you know, it's what a lot of the great leaders in sports do. I think those are three guys for me that have allowed me to, you know, feel really, really comfortable and take me under the wing. And I can't forget to mention either Craig Wendy. He's done a tremendous job as a goalie partner with me, especially understanding that I'm a young kid and, you know, not playing a lot, and him playing and being in this league a long time. So I think that you'll see a lot of times that when we go to a media timeout, we're always talking, we're always kind of keeping it loose. You know, and it's vice versa. If he's in the cage, you know, I'm doing whatever I can to make sure that he's on the game. He's not kind of stressed out about certain things and focusing on stopping the ball. So I think those four players, and I guess Pooley's a coach now, or assistant GM, whatever his official title is. But those four people, I think, have done a tremendous job for me in taking it under their wing and allowing me to kind of understand what it's like to be in the National Lacrosse League and play for the Georgia Swarm.
Yeah, I'm happy you went first, because the entire time you're talking, I was thinking about like 15 different people. I think that's something that's pretty special about this team, is that I'm having a tough time thinking about who I want to say, just because so many people have been, you know, unbelievable throughout the first couple months here. But yeah, I'd say Mac as well. Mac has been, you know, an unbelievable captain. You know, I really look up to him as a leader. You know, he's someone who can, you know, mess around with all the boys and, you know, isn't afraid to get in there. But at the same time, when, you know, when push comes to shove, he, you know, is really serious and kind of he does a good job of, you know, kind of reining everyone's emotions in and get everyone dialed in for a game. So Mac's been great. Colsey has been great for me. I sit next to him in the locker room, and yeah, he's from the Burlington area. He's an Oakville guy, but someone who I, you know, kind of knew a little bit before. I'm actually playing golf with him at a similar golf in Burlington on Sunday. So I'm assuming I'll take the W on that one, but I look forward to getting out there with him. And then, you know, Shane Jackson as well for me has been, he's been really good to me, and I'm pretty much attached to his hip, you know, off the field. I'd say similar as Darvish said, you know, kind of wherever he goes, I'm going with him. So yeah, those guys have been awesome. But like I mentioned, there's so many guys, and kind of every week for me, I feel like someone new kind of pops into that conversation where, you know, someone takes me under their wing or kind of goes out of the way, and I spend a lot more time with them. And, you know, that's something that's really special about this team, is that I can literally go up and down and name pretty much everyone on the team and say in some capacity they've done a good job with that.
Lance, I think you just said some fighting words against Colsey there. I know he takes golf very seriously, so we'll have to hear what he has to say about that.
You know, I don't know how good he is, but this is my home turf. I play here pretty much every
week. Trust me, Nicole. I'm the winner. Don't put that on him.
We've talked about some of the guys that took you under their wing, and obviously they're very talented players, but you guys were both very good players at the college level and in the pros. So playing at the college level, collecting multiple awards and accolades and setting records at your schools, what do you feel was the thing that set you apart from the rest in order to push you to that next level, making it to the pros?
I'll answer for Lance first. I think when he tucked seven against the Bonnies would be when he figured out he could play at the next level, but
not very tough with you in that. Holy.
Yeah. It's not hard. I mean, I again, it's about his confidence being up. So if he could shoot at me every game, he'd probably have seven goals too. But I think for me, you know, having a great coach and Randy Mearns, you know, who understands the box game, it was nice to see that, you know, he was the play-by-play color commentator for the Bandits last week, and, you know, be able to kind of play. And this was a first for him. You know, one of his first kind of, you know, a big alumni that kind of graduated from his program at Kinesis was Matt Vince. So for me to be able to graduate from him at St. Bonaventure, and for us to kind of go head-to-head, and, you know, I think there's a stat that Ty Merrow put out. You know, I was 5 years old when Matt Vince was drafted in the National Lacrosse League. So that says a lot kind of about being around there. But going back to my point about Mearnsy, being my coach, he could see every day that, you know, and tell me what I would need to work on to be able to be a professional and be able to have that open conversation with me about how, you know, what I need to focus on if I want to, again, you know, be the best goalie I could be. Well, hey, let's take a look at clearing. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then let's talk about, you know, how the NLL works, how the PLL kind of works. So understanding those conversations, and if you're fully bought into that, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be prepared for it. So I think that, you know, when he gave me the opportunity to play for Team Canada my sophomore year of college, that kind of allowed me to, you know, be confident in my abilities and say, hey, this is something I can work on. And that's more from a field perspective. But I think that as I go through that, though, I think that with him being a Team Canada field coach, but having a, you know, more of a background in box, and I think that allowed me to kind of understand what it would take to kind of, you know, do both at the next level. And I think that, you know, what he wants at St. Bonaventure is a bunch of people that want to play pro lacrosse in the PLL and the NLL. So being able to buy into that pitch that he has to help guys get there, and, you know, he will guide you to get there, right, and mold you to kind of be that player. So for me, that was something that allowed me to kind of, you know, understand that I think this is what I could do. And, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you talk about individual accolades, but I think that stuff comes with team success. And we were able to have a lot of team success my last year at St. Bonaventure. And I think that that's why, you know, the Bonnies were able to be able to put on, you know, a lot of people's radar screen. I mean, Nicole mentioned it earlier that we drafted Brett Vito as well, but we had six Bonnies guys get drafted into the NLL last year. I believe that was the most out of any school. Now, and that's just the first, you know, first or second time we've had guys go into the draft for a program. So I think that, you know, training and treat myself at kind of like a professional lacrosse player every day at school, even though I still have classes. I wasn't in the toughest major in the world. Originally, I was a phys ed major. I switched into a sports studies and personal and team coaching degree. I felt like that kind of allowed me to do lacrosse kind of full time while I was at school anyways. A lot of my products would be based on lacrosse and all that kind of stuff. So it allowed me to be around the game. So when you're kind of around it, it's a little contagious. I think that that's what allowed you kind of, you know, be ready for the next level when you kind of get there and be a professional.
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, kind of from the start of my college career, you know, and growing up, the easy part for me has always just been playing lacrosse. You know, I'd say the harder part is getting outside your comfort zone and stepping up as a leader and, you know, working on, you know, all those kind of off the field characteristics that make a good leader. You know, my coach did a really good job of putting me in those leadership positions kind of from an early, I'd say probably starting around maybe my junior year, maybe even into my sophomore year a little bit, where I was kind of put in a spot where, you know, I needed to step up and step outside my comfort zone. And, you know, for me, kind of that helped me get, you know, elevate my game. I think that helped elevate the team's game, just being someone that, you know, it didn't matter if you were a freshman on the team and I was a fifth year, you know, you could always come over to my apartment. In fact, I would say the freshman sophomores on the Richmond team last year basically lived at my place. You know, and I took a lot of pride in that. And I think that kind of came from when I went to boarding school and, you know, I was 14 or 15 years old and moved away from home and into a different country. And some of the older guys on the team, you know, took me under their wing and did a good job of making me feel really comfortable and at home. And so when I got to Richmond and, you know, I got a little older and was put in leadership positions, I took that really seriously, where, you know, I wanted to make sure that every single person on the team, you know, felt like they belonged and felt comfortable. And, you know, that's something that, similar to our Georgia team, I think our Richmond team really had, you know, just incredible chemistry. And I think that really helped us on the field last year. And I know I helped myself. You know, John, when he was talking to me, I think that struck a chord with him. Just, you know, someone who has been a captain and someone who kind of knows, you know, the difficulty of being in those positions, but is able to kind of work through tough situations. And I think that not just on lacrosse field, but in life, that helps you.
For sure. What would you say is kind of the biggest difference in play from college to the pros that you guys have seen this far? And I know it's only been four games, but is there anything that you guys noticed?
Yeah, the pads are different. No, I'm just messing with you, but they are. But for me, I think, like, ultimately, you know, what you can get away with, it all goes, instead of a college perspective, I'll talk more from a goalie's perspective, from junior A lacrosse into the NLL. But I feel like there's certain things you can get away with in junior A lacrosse, whether it be bigger pads, you know, your fundamentals, your angle play might not be the best. And I think that for you as a goalie, once you understand sometimes that less is more and that, you know, positioning goes a long way, and just being set again, like once that kind of clicks in your head, then you're able to kind of like, okay, like now I can build and add layers to my game. So I feel like understanding that and, you know, getting better and taking shots each day and adjusting to that game speed is something that's very important and very different from, you know, the junior game and the quote unquote college game as well. So, you know, I think for me, that was the biggest thing in understanding that and then getting used to the spoon sticks instead of the wooden sticks. I think that, that's a big difference as well for goalies, but I think once you kind of feel comfortable in that and you go out there and you kind of, you know, practice what you're not great at, I think it helps a ton, right? So those are the biggest difference I saw from camp and then moving into the game speed for the first couple games of the year as well.
Yeah, I think game speed is, I don't want to steal Dauber's answer there, but that definitely for me has been the biggest thing that's jumped off the page. Everyone seems bigger, faster, stronger. There's a lot less time and space out there, and you know, decision making is something that comes, you know, comes into play. You got like a split second to make a play, and you know, sometimes it doesn't even feel like you have a split second. And then I would say the other thing is everyone's a lot smarter, and I just think that whether that's from guys watching maybe more film, or just kind of guys being veterans and having that game experience, you know, it's really tough to get kind of an edge on the defense. It just seems that, you know, they kind of know your tendencies. They know what you're going to do. They don't get caught out of position very often. So, you know, to beat them, you got to be really good. You got to make some really good plays and buy in as, you know, as a five-man unit and beat them collectively, I've found. So that would be kind of the two main differences for me.
Awesome. Well, you guys are adjusting really well, as you guys have proven through the first few games. Last question here. What are you guys looking forward to most this season?
Our first win?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, there's a lot of things that pop up in my head, but for me, I'm just going to say, honestly, like the next week. Now, it's just like looking 1 week ahead and, you know, going in and kind of picking up, you know, on Dauber's point a little bit. I think just like you got 1 week to prepare, watch film, you know, meet with the guys, go in and practice, and then go get a win. And then I think after that, it's pretty much the same thing. You just got to kind of get on the train a little bit and, you know, look forward to the next week and prepare as much as you can. You know, another big difference, actually going back a question that I thought of, is, you know, a lot of the stuff is on you. In college, you work out as a team every day. You're on the field every day as a team. You watch film together. But in the NHL, you're put in a spot where, you know, you kind of get out what you put in. So you need to kind of get in there every day into the gym. You need to watch film by yourself. You need to kind of reach out for extra film. You need to prepare yourself. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is just kind of putting in the work every week and then getting to go out there on the weekends and get wins with the boys.
I'll add to that too. So my answer is pretty bland, but that is a very important what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I think for me, our next game against Colorado, I think that's, for me, that's something that, you know, Dylan Ward's their guy who's in net. That's a guy that I've looked up to, been compared to sometimes in both field and box, kind of play a similar game where we both hold our sticks in the left hand. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. But every weekly kind of matchup like that, there's a little nuance for me that's like that allows me to kind of get amped for it a bit, right? Like you go out, like we play SAS, they come to town at some point this year. That's the team that, you know, I grew up watching a lot because my babysitter was on that team and John LaFontaine growing up, and, you know, won the championship with them when they won the two in a row before the Swarm beat them. So I think that like little things like that are little things that I look forward to. And then ultimately, you know, we got a trip with the guys planned as well and a bunch of little things like that. So anytime you get to do stuff like that with your teammates, it's something that I think is going to be a lot of fun. And you know, you're not going to get remembered for what you do on the floor most of the time. You're going to remember for how you are as a teammate off the floor. So I think, you know, when you get to do situations like that and you get to kind of let your hair down and be a person, not just a lacrosse player, I think that's something that a lot of guys look forward to. And I mean, the banter amongst the guys is something that's unmatched. I mean, Lance, I'm sure you could talk about this. We walk in the room at training camp and it's just like some of the conversations that are being had, and I could not stop laughing at some of the stuff that was said, because it was hilarious. And you get to kind of understand how the banter with the team goes. And I think that, you know, you got a lot of characters on this team, as Nicole might know, she captures a lot of footage of it weekly. And I think that, you know, that's something, a lot of things that I'm looking forward to as you kind of go through the year. So there's a lot of different little things, but they all add up at the end.
Awesome. I'm going to backtrack to a little bit, Lance, back to you. So you said it's on you, you know, practicing film, it's all on you versus in college when you do it together. You know, you do have a full-time job. How do you make time for all this?
Just good time management, I guess. I've got to you know, a good spot where I pretty much know what I'm doing every single day, you know, before it happens. So the days I'm in the gym and the times are all set, you know, for certain days and times. And I know what, you know, I know in 1 month from now that it's going to be the exact same. So it's good to kind of just plan out in advance and have people in your corner that help you out. I know my sister as well. The days I do go into the office, I normally stay at her apartment in Toronto. So that really helps me out and saves me some time on travel in the morning. So I don't have to get up early and take the train. So, you know, there's a lot of people that definitely help me out, but I think just, you know, if you're hungry and you want something, you'll find the time to do it. And, that's how it was being a student athlete in college. You know, having a pretty tough major, and you know, I couldn't just, you know, fake my way through it. So, that you learn it there. Dauber wasn't trying to take a shot. I know you smiled there. I was laughing
because I'm thinking here, like, how the heck do I even do anything in my schedule? It's tough for me to roll out of bed before 10 a.m. if I lift at 12, I lift at 12. The rest of the day is a mystery, right? So, yeah, my daily schedule is a lot different than Ryan's. But, you know, hey, we get stuff done. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear anything about a fake major, none of that crap.
I understood
how to manage my time.
No, you gave me a good smile when I said it, so just making sure.
I wouldn't say business is a real major sometimes, but it depends what you take.
It is. So I learned it, you know, all jokes aside, I learned it there. I think just you have such a tight schedule in college, and there's 4 hours every day minimum. You know, that's what they say is the rule, you know. Thinking outside, like just how much time you spend outside those actual 4 hours of lacrosse related activities, how much of your time is dedicated towards lacrosse. Then with classes and everything and, you know, homework and studying, you just kind of, it's just something that you learn, and I had 5 years to do it. Yeah, it's, and like I said, I think when you're just hungry for something and something really means a lot to you, then you'll find a way and it doesn't seem so difficult.
I think you stressed Ryan out with that question again, Nicole.
Great.
His time management skills are good, but I don't know if they're that good. You're stressing it right now. We can't have that again.
That's right, because I'm going to loosen it up a little bit right now. We're just going to do a quick game before I let you guys go, all right? So we're going to do a little this or that. So I'm going to say whatever it is, you just give me your quick answers. All right, NFL or NHL?
NHL, not even close.
I'm going to have to go NFL right now.
Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram,
because, you know, with the reels now, it's kind of like TikTok-ish.
Get it both. I understand. Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox.
Early riser or night owl?
Night owl.
Night owl. You should see Ryan and Buckhead. Night owl.
Come on. On the first podcast here. Come on.
Throwing them under the bus there.
We got to make sure they're in tune for the second one. It's going to be tough to talk.
Conditioning or weights?
Weights, not conditioning. Never.
I mean, I'm better at conditioning, but I definitely like weights better.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes. Chocolate chip.
Pancakes with the butter and lots of maple syrup.
Drums or flats?
Drums.
Boneless wings.
Chicken tenders? Okay.
Yeah.
all right, the last one. Ranch or blue cheese?
Blue cheese, unfortunately. I know that's there's some heat for that.
Ranch for the ranch?
I know. I don't want to disappoint the people, but blue cheese.
Yeah, blue cheese as well.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. Good luck next week. We look forward to seeing you guys back out there.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, guys.
Well, no problem, anytime. Thank you for having us.
Once again, ThinkCast listeners, that was Ryan Lanchberry and Brett Dobson, the last two top picks for the Georgia Swarm. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in, but before we let you go, we have a few more words on behalf of the Swarm's ThinkCast.
The Swarm are on a two-week bye and return to the floor on week 10 in Denver, Colorado, where they take on the reigning NLL champs, the Colorado Mammoth, on Friday, February 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's a late one, kids, so stay up. You can watch that on ESPN+. And then the next time the Swarm are in Atlanta is Friday, February 10th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, when they invite the Toronto Rock to town. You can get tickets for as low as $12 a seat at georgiaswarm.com/tickets. If you have any questions, suggestions, comments for next time, DM us, DM Georgia Swarm Lax on any social platform, and we'll hear what you have to say. The StingCast is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, Atlanta's premier waterproofing and foundation experts. You can visit them at esogrepair.com for all waterproofing and foundation needs. Once again, that's esogrepair.com. To keep up with the StingCast and listen to the next episode, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Podbean, and we're hoping to come to Apple Podcasts and other platforms soon.